Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have an interesting program lined up for our people today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonna.
Dave, good to see you, my friend. We have a fascinating subject. We're going to talk about fear and the love of the Holy Spirit and how that can overcome the fear that sometimes enters your heart. And mine is a massive subject. I know we get a little heavy for our listeners sometimes, but this is going to be time well spent because we're going to be able to impact the lives of our listeners. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? You see, love is an enemy of fear. When love fears your heart, fear has no place in your life. As usual, I'm going to give you some scripture sightings. Sometimes I'll read them to you. Sometimes I'll just share them with you. So those of you who are taking notes might want to write this one down. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. See what it says there about fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So that's very powerful. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. It's written in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You see, the disciples lost their fear after the coming of the Holy Spirit. Peter denied the Lord. Thomas doubted him. Judas betrayed him and committed suicide. Every disciple fled and ran away during the crucifixion. The disciples were embarrassed, humiliated, ashamed, and confused. Think about it. When the maiden at the home of the high priest questioned Peter, he crumbled. Perhaps this was an experience Jesus referred to earlier when he spoke to Peter. Remember this out of Luke 22? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He that may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthened by thy brethren. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. You see, Jesus warned him of an enemy. He saw Satan setting the trap. Anything close to Jesus receives attacks. That's just the way the world is. Yet Jesus truly believed that Peter would overcome every pitfall of Satan. He anticipated the success of Peter. When thou art converted, Jesus did not say if, he said when. The disciples did not even fear while they were experiencing beatings. They rejoiced and they were happy that they were considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Write that down in Acts 5, 40 and 41. You'll find it there. That's what it says. The disciples intensified their obedience and their evangelism after these beatings because they felt that they were now worthy. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 5, verse 42. I heard someone say that a baby is born with two basic fears. But by the time the child is 20 years old, over 172,000 fears have been documented. Now, I have no idea how they documented that, David. But, David, I would imagine that in your efforts as a pastor serving over many, many years in many different locations, that you've probably provided not only sermons, but spiritual guidance about fear and how that impacts people's lives. Could you share some of those thoughts with us, please?
A lot of facts about fear. You know, fear changes your whole focus on your life. If you get something that you're fearful of, you might not do this, might not do that. Fear will weaken everything that you want to do. Your determination will be gone, your willpower. Fear breaks the connection of friends and friendships. I think fear has crushed the hopes of a young man and a young lady about to be married. They hear the wrong stuff, they read the wrong book, and they have just changed their minds and said, maybe this is not what we should be doing. Fear is a more deceptive enemy, and it is an enemy. Fear is an enemy than even Satan himself. It stops you from reaching. Once you see that maybe I should do this, fear will come, and rejection is right there saying, you better not do that. This is something that will not help you. I wonder how many people that are listening to us today, how many of you that have turned the dial and said, I want to hear these guys today, and we're talking about something that is right down your alley, right down into your very life. You're the person who fears everything. You fear getting an airplane. Some people don't ride the airplanes because they fear that they're going to crash. People don't get out on the highway at night. They don't want to drive at night. They have a fear of the road and the darkness. A lot of people are fearful of going to church, that they're just going to be pushed so hard from the pulpit that they can't live up to what the pulpit is trying to tell them, so they didn't even want to hear the message. It's a tragedy in our nation. Our nation is slipping right now, and hoping that maybe church will find a revival again, a revival of what God is trying to tell us to do with our life. We all have to get together. The churches in Dillsburg are getting together because we're bringing a famous evangelist, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, to Harr's Drive-In Theater. You say, what in the world are they doing there? We're going to put up a big tent, and we can put thousands of people there on Holy Week and do something special. We need to shake ourselves and our town. We need to shake Dillsburg, and we need to shake Carlisle and all the little communities from between all that's what we're here for. That's why this microphone is turned on and the red light says go. I like the way you get these subjects going that are just out of the ordinary. They're not common to all of us, but we do have fears. All of us have fears. We wake up with them every morning. Okay,
and you're right. You're right, Pastor Dave. We have to overcome those fears. I had forgotten about, I think you mentioned Pastor John Shuttlesworth coming to Dillsburg in the past. I forgot that was coming down. I would encourage our listeners that we have to get more information so we can put that on the airwaves. But that's extremely important. He has got to be one of the finest speakers that I've ever heard in my life. I put him right up there beside the Reverend Billy Graham. He is that good.
He goes to places over and over again. And last year, He went to Barbados.
Yeah. That's what
and he's there right now. He's there today.
He's there right now as we speak. He's right. In Barbados again. Well, that's good. Find him at Harr's Drive-In. And you say in March?
Holy Week. What's Palm Sunday? To Easter.
Yeah, that's probably into April. Okay, well, we have to get that information on the airwaves to our listeners so they know where to find him. In the meantime, we're talking about fear and how that can impact your life. Fear prevents you from making great, important decisions. Fear wears a vigorous disguise. It wraps you around you, and it can choke you. Fear is more deceptive than Satan itself. Fear is, you see, it's inside you. Fear stops you from reaching, from thinking outside the box and going forward. Fear can stop you from asking for forgiveness. Your fear that mercy will not be offered. Well, that can happen. Fear stops you from admitting your guilt, that you made a mistake, that you were wrong. You're afraid that grace will not be returned. The Holy Spirit is an enemy to fear. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who sustains Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed concerning the cup of suffering, the fear of man can stop physical healing from occurring in your body. It's fear. Look at the blind man. Remember that story in the Bible from Mark chapter 10? Remember, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd around him told him to hold his peace. Mark 10, chapter 48. But he refused to fear the opposition of men around him, and he received his miracle. Millions have surrendered to their fears while their hearts dreamed for a miracle. Don't let that happen to you today. Come into his presence. Reach out towards the Holy Spirit. Ask him to dispel every ounce of fear within you. Begin to thank Jesus for paying the price, making you an overcomer, and interceding before you, before the Father. And he's interceding to bring you peace and happiness. Overcome those anxieties. Always remember, the Holy Spirit can eliminate all fears that are conceived by man. David, I wish you would offer a prayer of healing and wholeness for our listeners. The subject is so sensitive to them. I believe that they need your words of guidance at this time.
Now let's pray. Father, I ask you, as you have given a special plan for all of our lives, you already know what tomorrow holds. I trust you, Lord. So I ask you to begin to show us pictures of the future. We need to grow into that picture. Alter everything that I'm doing so that we can begin to think about it and live about it. We talked already about the tent revival at Har's Outdoor Theater. I tell you, Lord, this is an opportunity for our town. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our town would change its whole ways? If we could fill up every church in this area, 50 churches, if every one of them would have a revival, and we would shake Pennsylvania. Man, that's the cry of every minister who gets on his knees today. Lord Jesus, everybody tells us we're losing people by the thousands in our churches. They're staying home. We pray, Lord, that the future plans, that will be where we are. We want to have a picture of the future. So give us that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave.
Let's talk about that picture.
Yes.
You want to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, I like that. You're looking down the road at future events, overcoming your fears and your anxieties and your worries, and looking down the road for what the future has to offer. You realize the Holy Spirit does that for us. The Holy Spirit sees far ahead of the rest of us. He will show us the events before they ever occur. Jesus promised this would happen. He would show you things to come. John 16, verse 13 says just that. The Holy Spirit spoke ahead of time about the scoffers making light of the coming of Christ in the last days. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 and 4 says the same thing. The Holy Spirit gave the great prophet Samuel photographs of the future events. As recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 9, let me read a couple of those verses. Now the Lord hath told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, Tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. That's powerful. He's looking down the road. He's giving him a photograph of future events. That's powerful scripture. You see, the Holy Spirit came upon David when Samuel anointed him. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Where is that written? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit inspires, anoints, and qualifies men and women to prophecy to others as well. The Holy Spirit gave Jeremiah photographs of his future from the Lord. Remember reading for that in Jeremiah? Then the word of the Lord came upon me, saying, Before I was formed thee in the belly of my mother, I knew thee. And before thou comest forward out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of persons. No, not out of that kind of a thought process. You see, God showed Abraham pictures of his future generations. Now we're talking. We're going back to Genesis chapter 12 now. You must receive a picture of your future. You must believe that photograph. You must water that seed of tomorrow. You must receive it from the Holy Spirit, and you must protect that picture. Now, I realize that's some pretty heavy words, Pastor Dave, but can you explain to our listeners that nobody else can do it for you, that each person has to do it for themselves?
Hey, we try to get everybody to do things for us, and sometimes we have to do something for ourselves. If you're sitting there today wondering, what am I going to do? Do I have a picture of the future? Did God give me something that I could look at and say, you could do this in your church? You could be a part of this. And did you take that picture and put it in your hand and in your eyesight and then into your heart? And you pour water on it every day so that it will grow and grow and grow. And then all of a sudden, nobody else is going to believe it. You have to do this on your. You got to embrace it. You got to receive it. You got to protect it. You got to take that picture and say, nobody's going to take this from me. The Holy Spirit has made a picture, and I have put it in my heart, and I will watch it grow. And boy, it's wonderful to see how the Lord will not let you forget some of those things that He wants you to have, and you had it for a moment, and then you lost it. The world grabbed you. The devil brought something into your life, and you missed the whole thing. And so that's why today God brought Giff and I here, so that we can help you find that picture again and to put it up somewhere where you can see it and where God can bring about your future long before you do it. You can see ahead down the road. I'll do this, and the Lord will help you. I love that, because that's the way I lived my life. There was years and years of doing the same thing, and all of a sudden God would abruptly stop. I mean, when God stopped me from being in a music group and put me on the mission field, that was an abrupt change.
Yep.
And in 3 years, when things were going so fantastic, you thought I'd live there forever, I had an abrupt change again and went from the paradise of the world to the... to where they raise pigs and corn, and that was in Iowa. The abrupt changes are good.
Yes.
Coming to the station to be the chaplain was an abrupt change in my life.
It sure was.
But I saw a picture. I saw a picture of a microphone. I didn't know you were going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I heard you come to the meetings, and when you spoke, your voice was so low, and everybody said, who is that? And pretty soon, you're the president, and God gave me an opportunity to sit next to you in the studio and to talk about things that are so important, and people are wanting to hear it from somebody.
Yeah.
God help us, we never push it aside and say, let's not talk about these things, they're not important. Giff, you have a gift from God that's helping us do what we had to do.
Thank you, David. You know something? I think you're right, though. That is the vision. That's the picture that we have. That's the picture that we're talking about that our listeners should be trying to find if they haven't already found it. And they've got to work to that end. The Holy Spirit will work through you if you allow it, and nobody can do it for you. I like the way you have a way of putting that into common language that we can all understand, Dave. You're very good at that. The Holy Spirit gave Joseph a picture of his future in a dream. Remember that? Joseph saw himself in a position of authority. He saw others honoring him. His mind began to change. He conducted and his behavior were altered. What happened in your mind will happen in time. And that is why the Holy Spirit is so important in your life. You see, your behavior cannot change until He bursts in you a picture of what He is looking at when He sees you. That was true with Joseph, the same as it is with us today. You see, He sees something you do not see. He is taking you where you have never been. He is planting the seed of what you are to become. You know, see, your future has to move into you before you can move into your future. In the secular world, they called that fake it until you make it. Remember people saying those things, David? And I'm not so sure it's altogether wrong. If you want to become a doctor or a lawyer, a teacher or an architect or whatever it is you want to become in the future, and you're working in that direction, have you heard people saying, well, I am Dr. Colonin or whatever their name might be, even though you know that they haven't quite made that yet? Well, they're saying, I'm going to get there sooner or later, and I want to use that positive thought process today. Well, we say that in the Christian world. We say that we're looking down the world, what the world has to offer to us. We're looking down the road, and we're seeing into the future, and that's what the Holy Spirit is leading us towards, and that's where I want to be. Well, in the secular world, they just say, well, you're not there yet. You're going to get there someday. Well, it's a different way of thinking. And we're going to do whatever it takes to have the Holy Spirit lead us into a positive direction. You see, trouble becomes easier to handle when you know that it will not last forever. Jesus had that kind of picture. And that's what we're trying to talk about, looking at that picture down the road, as you find recorded in Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read one of those verses for you. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, they're looking down the road. They're looking forward. Jesus had confidence in his resurrection, and that enabled him to endure the crucifixion. Nothing magical there. He had faith. He had that picture, and he was looking down the road. Remember, always, always remember, the Holy Spirit can reveal the future events to you long before they can even happen. So you have to listen to where the Holy Spirit is leading you and follow that direction. Follow that photograph, follow that word, follow that seed. Remember to listen to the Holy Spirit no matter what your event might be. It could be a major issue, it could be a minor issue. Where do we go to eat tonight could be a minor issue. But the Holy Spirit's going to lead you in that direction. David, our time is nearly exhausted. We only have 2 or 3 minutes left. I would hope that you were able to close today with an inspirational word to our listeners about overcoming the world's discomforts, our fears, our anxieties, and our worries, and to look down the road to what the Holy Spirit has for us. Would you have any closing thoughts that would work for us today?
If I wish you could have been in our church on Sunday. The pastor and his wife went to the Philippines for 10 days to see their daughter, or my granddaughter, on her mission trip. And they were allowed to live with them for a few days, see what they're doing. And here they were, hundreds of young people that are traveling the world this year. Mm-hmm. And they got into Manila in the Philippines, and there are streets filled with thousands of people with drug trafficking, yeah, and ladies,
yeah,
being trafficked, and young people. So our gang got involved in all of that. You know, when I went to Africa, they said, we're not gonna take you down to here. This we're in the church. This is where we're at. You know, we're doing church work. So we never was ever invited. That would have been wrong for us to go down that kind of a street. But now, things have changed. They went down the street, and where thousands of people are bought and sold every night. And
that took courage.
Connie cried the whole message.
Did she?
She couldn't stop weeping because of what God took her through.
Yeah.
And how she, for the first time,
saw it firsthand.
Went in. You buy the girl for the night, okay? You go buy these, all these ladies are on platforms, and you buy them for the night. Well, Mike and Connie, unbelievable, they said, let's buy a girl and tell her about Jesus. And so
they did.
They did.
Yeah.
It was, and the girls, they had like, I think, 6 one night they bought and had them come to a place where they could survive. It's a great and amazing story, and I know we don't have time to go along with that today, but there is a new look at the world and how we can help them, and we're not afraid.
How about that?
Not afraid.
Isn't that
fear's gone.
You know something, Dave? You're talking about a trip to Barbados. You know, we did that 2 years ago. We went into what you would call the red light district in this country.
Okay.
Went into Barbados and spoke to those people. And we brought several, I don't know, remember the exact number, several people came to Christ that week through our ministry.
They're doing that again right now.
They're doing it again right now as we speak, yes. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, is our time going?
Yes. Well, we must say goodbye. David, I thank you for being here. Our listeners, thank you for the program. But we've exhausted our time. It's time for us to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you next time.